Well, today we're going to start a new series called New Focus. And the purpose of this series will be to give us something positive to focus on every week. Because as we go through our weeks with our various responsibilities and activities, there's so much going on around us, so many people, so many details, so much stuff everywhere, that sometimes we get distracted from simply loving God and knowing He loves us and focusing on the things of God. So we'll try to have the theme of the next several times we meet to be give you a new focus. Part of the material I taught in Hawaii, which I first taught to this group, was the importance of loving God. And that is a very, very important part of trusting God and relying on God and believing God, is simply to love Him. Well, another focus that we'll start with today as the first part of this new series is a little reminder of how much God loves us. I know we've read these verses before, but they are so true, and it is so important we have them in our hearts and minds and that we focus on them in the week ahead. So that's the theme today, is God loves us. Let's start in Deuteronomy chapter 7 with a very familiar verse. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 8. But because the Lord loved you, and because He would, or He wanted, to keep the oath which He had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. It's simply because God loved His people that, and because He wanted to keep His promise, that He did that mighty, mighty thing of bringing millions of Israelites out of Egypt. He parted the Red Sea for them. He gave them water in the desert. When the Egyptian armies tried to attack them, they drowned when the sea covered them up. And time after time, God protected them. He brought manna. He had quails come in for them to eat. He did all of those things to protect them and provide for them for 40 years, simply because He loved them and He wanted to keep His promise. And it's important to remember that, because so many people will tell you about Christianity that you basically have to earn God's love. And you have to earn answers to prayers by your behavior. And behaving according to God's word is a very important thing. And that's why there's so much instruction in the church epistles about, you know, not lying, not stealing, you know, loving your neighbor. There are a lot of things God tells us to do, and they're important. But to get answers to prayer, what's more important is that we know God loves us and that we simply trust Him and believe Him. So knowing God loves you is important. The only reason God did all of those great things with the Egyptians to protect the children of Israel was because He loved them and He wanted to keep His promise. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 23. And verse 5, just to give you a little background, you may remember when they were traveling near Moab that the king of Moab hired a sort of flaked out prophet named Balaam to curse the children of Israel. But Balaam, to his credit, listened to God, and God told him to bless them instead of curse them, which obviously made the king of Moab very angry. And it's quite a record. This is the one where the donkey talks to him and tells him to turn around because Balaam won't listen to God at that point. It sort of went back and forth. It's an interesting story. But here in Deuteronomy 23:5, nevertheless, the Lord thy God would not hearken unto Balaam, because Balaam did at one point try to curse them. But the Lord thy God turned the curse into a blessing unto thee. And this is an important verse, because the king of Moab did the most powerful thing he could do to stop them by trying to hire a person he thought was spiritually connected to curse them. In other words, he was not only using his army, he was trying to use spiritual power against the Israelites. And even though the king of Moab did that, God turned the curse into a blessing. And that's important to know, because you will run across evil forces in your life trying to make life hard on you. Sometimes it's very blatantly spiritual. Sometimes it's just a person with bad motives trying to attack you. But either way, you will have bad stuff come across your path at times. And the thing to realize is it doesn't matter how badly you may be getting attacked. God is able to turn that curse into a blessing. He's able to turn that attack against you into a victory. You just have to be willing to go to God, pray, and trust him that he does love you and that he will come through for you. So let's look at that again, Deuteronomy 23 and verse 5. Nevertheless, the Lord thy God would not hearken or listen unto Balaam, but the Lord thy God turned the curse into a blessing unto thee, because the Lord thy God loved thee. Because he loved him, he turned the curse into a blessing. Psalm 13. Psalm 13. And here in verse 5. But I have trusted in thy mercy, or thy steadfast love, thy loving kindness. One of the primary words translated mercy here in the King James simply means that. It means steadfast love or loving kindness. So here again in verse 5, but I have trusted in thy steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. That's what we trust in. We trust in God's love for us. We trust that he is always going to be taking care of us, that he is never going to forsake us, that he will never, ever let us down because he loves us. Psalm 34. So remember, that's our focus this week. No matter what's going on, you want the one thing to pop into your mind: God loves me. And because he loves me, he has my back, he's going to protect me, he's going to provide for me, he's going to supply my need. And even if it takes a little while, it's perhaps a little painful working through it, God will not let you down. He will get you through, and you will come out victorious. So Psalm 34 and verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear, reverence the Lord, for there is no lack to them that fear him, to those that reverence him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. So the man that trusts God, who knows that God loves him, he's blessed. And there is no lack to those that have reverence and respect for him. Even if things are so bad that the young lions, which tend to be at the top of the food chain, lack and suffer hunger, those that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. So it doesn't matter how bad things are around you. When you simply look to the Lord, you will lack no good thing. Psalm 36. Next, just across the page there probably. Psalm 36 and verse 7. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. It's excellent. It's absolutely superb. It's just the best thing going. Another translation is precious. How precious, how wonderful, how valuable, how worthy it is of being protected and kept. If you have something that's very precious to you, you may hide it, you may wrap it up or lock it up or do something to, you know, if you put it in a waterproof case or something, whatever it is to protect that precious thing you have. Well, that's how God's loving kindness is. It's precious. We just hold it close to us and don't let go of it. How precious, verse 7 here, Psalm 36, 9, is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness or the richness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life, and in thy light shall we see light. That's where we will see light, is in God's light. You may not find light, or in the sense of wisdom and understanding, other places. You might. But the real place to find wisdom and understanding is in God's light. In God's light, we shall see light. In Psalm 92, a favorite of mine that you've probably heard me talk about many times. I think about this verse a lot. Psalm 92 and verse 1. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. And to show forth, verse 2, or to declare thy loving kindness in the morning. So the thing you want to declare in the morning is that God loves you, that he has loving kindness, steadfast love for you. So that's the way you start tomorrow morning. You may wake up tomorrow morning with 100 things. My to-do list for tomorrow is so big, I don't even want to think about it. But it's there, and I will survive, and I will prosper. But I'm going to start the day saying, God loves me, so I can get through this. Because God's loving kindness is the thing we want to declare in the morning. So going back to verse 1, it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to declare thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. So start out the day tomorrow talking about how much God loves you. And because he loves you, nothing can possibly stop you. And then as the day goes on and your day starts to wind down and you get home or you finish up what project you did or what activity you were in, think back about how God helped you at every step. So you may not even have known he was helping you, but everything somehow worked out. And then just think about God's faithfulness, that he was faithful to be there. You're still breathing. The sun's still shining. Life is still going on. God is faithful. So start the day. That's your focus in the morning, is God loves me. And your focus at night is God was faithful to take care of me today. And don't worry too much about every day, because what's it say in Matthew? Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Just try to focus on loving God and knowing he loves you one day at a time. And when tomorrow gets here, God will have plenty of love and mercy and compassion and kindness for you. Remember that verse we read in Lamentations a lot, that God's mercies are new every morning? He'll have plenty for you because he loves you. Let's go to Psalm 119. This isn't talking about how God loves us, but it's sort of a corollary to it. Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. When we love God's word, which means we know that God loves us, we know he'll supply for us, we know he'll protect us, we have great peace. And nothing can really offend us. Because if I know God loves me, and I know his word is true, and I know God is faithful to protect me and supply my needs and direct my paths, give me the desires of my heart, all those other great things, what could possibly offend me? What could you do or say that would offend me if I know God's going to take care of me? I have such a great source of supply, such a great depth and wealth of wisdom and protection and resources available to me. What could offend me? Because you can't take that away. You may say something that I don't like and, you know, do things I don't like, but that doesn't stop the fact that God loves me and God will take care of me. Because that's the thing I really have going for me, is that God loves me. Same with you. That's the thing you always have. Other things will come and go. And there are a lot of great things in life that God provides that we should have, and they're wonderful. But they are all going to come and go, but God himself won't. He'll always be there for you. That's why it says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9. Here we go. Jeremiah 9 and verse 23. Here we go, in Jeremiah 9:23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory or brag in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Nothing wrong with the wise man being wise or the mighty man being mighty. He just shouldn't glory and he shouldn't brag about it. He shouldn't think that's the greatest thing he has going. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth. If somebody wants to brag, if somebody wants to boast, if somebody wants to get all excited about this great thing in their life, let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. So if somebody wants to brag, brag that he knows God who exercises loving kindness. In other words, brag that God loves you. If you want to brag about something, if you want to boast, if you want to feel important, if you want to say, I have something completely reliable in my life that I have total confidence in, it should be that God loves you. Because that's one thing that's never going to go away. Other things, like I say, enjoy people, enjoy situations, enjoy stuff, enjoy your responsibilities. That's all great stuff. But the reason we have it all, and the one thing we can rely on, is that God loves us. That's the main thing. If God didn't love us, we wouldn't have air to breathe. We wouldn't have a planet that was habitable. We wouldn't have anything that we have. Jeremiah 31, in verse 3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. See, God's love to us is everlasting. Other things in life may come and go. And my experience has been that everything in life comes and goes. It's there one day and gone the next. Some things are there longer, many days, but sooner or later everything comes and goes in life. But God's love is everlasting. I have loved thee, what's it say in, can't remember where that is, but somewhere in the epistles it says we should look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen. For the things which are seen are temporal, they're temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And one of those things you can't physically see, but is eternal, is God's love for you. So that is a great thing to put your focus on, that God loves you. So look at that again, Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, yes, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. God's love towards us is everlasting. And the way he draws us to him is not by scaring us, not by threatening us, not by attacking us, but with his loving kindness. And that's the reason we come to God. It reminds me in Romans where it says, the goodness of God leadeth men to repentance. They see how good God is. They see how much God loves them. And they want to change their minds and believe his word. With loving kindness he drew us. And let's go here to Romans 8, verse 28. Romans 8, verse 28. 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You see, when we love God, when we speak in tongues, when we apply his word to our lives, everything does work together for good. It just all works out. There may be bumps in the road. It may look confusing. It may look like things aren't going the right direction. But as we simply love God, live his word, speak in tongues, everything is going to fit. Then let's go a little further to verse 38 of Romans 8. I am persuaded that neither death, and by the way, it talks about in verse 37 and all these things, talking about all the tribulations and problems that can happen in the verses before that. It says in all these things and all of these problems that may come your way, we're more than conquerors. We're super conquerors through him that what? Loved us. The reason we can be super conquerors in all those tough situations is that God loves us and Jesus Christ, his son, loved us enough to give his life for us. carrying out God's plan. So verse 38, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." That's the reason you can be more than a conqueror. That's the reason you can be a super conqueror. That's the reason you can overcome any difficulty, any obstacle, any attack, any challenge, any mental pressure, is because God loves you and nothing can separate you. There's nothing anybody can say or do that will separate you from the love of God. There's nothing you can say or do that will separate you from the love of God. God will continue to love you no matter what. We may walk away from God's love by ignoring him, not wanting to be around him, and that's our choice and our mistake. But then the minute we go back to him, God will be there. Remember that parable of the prodigal son, where the father had two sons, and one of them got tired of working on the farm and collected his part of the inheritance and went off and partied and got wild with wild women and drink and song, wasted all his money, ended up working as a pig farmer, which in their culture was the worst thing you could possibly do. I don't know if there's anything in our culture that'd be that mad. Maybe working the night shift at the morgue or something. I'm not sure what would be a job that would be considered as unsavory as being a pig farmer in that society. But it was very bad. And then when he realized how he'd goofed up and went back to his father and asked for forgiveness, his father didn't even let him finish his apology. He just welcomed him back, had a big party, because the father was just so glad to have his son back. That's the way God thinks about us. That's the way he loves us. That's the way he cares for us. We may stop loving God, but he will never stop loving us. So the smart thing for us to do is just accept his love and love him in return. But let's look at that again, verse 39. "Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Absolutely nothing can separate us. And that's what your focus has got to be this week, is God loves you. So you run across a problem Tuesday morning at 9 a.m., you acknowledge it. Yep, that's a problem. That's not good. But God loves me, so I'm going to get through this one way or another. And then Thursday at 3 p.m., something worse happens, and you start to panic, and you're all worried, how's this going to happen? Doesn't matter. God loves me, so I'm going to get through it one way or another. And just focus on that throughout the week, that because God loves you, nothing can stop you. Let's back up a little bit. Verse 35, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation," it's all kind of mental pressure and other attacks, "distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? As it's written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long, we're counted as sheep for the slaughter? Nay, in all these things we're super conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded, I'm convinced, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1. In verse 4. "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." God has chosen us that we'd be holy and without blame. It doesn't say we're without fault. It doesn't say we won't make mistakes. But we're without blame because Jesus Christ took the blame. He took the punishment for anything we have done and might ever do wrong. So in God's eyes, we're holy and without blame. In other people's eyes, we may be blamable. But in God's eyes, we are holy and without blame before him in love. Verse 5, "having predestinated us unto the adoption of children," could be better translated sonship, "by Jesus Christ unto himself, according to the good pleasure of his word, of his will, according to the praise of his," verse 6, "to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Or as one translation has said, God has made us lovely and acceptable. In God's eyes, we're lovely and acceptable. We are holy and without blame. All because he loves us. Not because of what we do or what we have done, but because he loves us. And yes, there are many things as Christians we should do and many things we benefit from when we do them. But that's not the basis of our life with God. The basis is that God loves us, that his son gave his life for us, that his son is returning. That's sort of the baseline. Upon that baseline, anything we do for God, we get additional blessings. But the baseline is, the sort of foundation is that God loves us and he's going to take care of us. We're lovely and acceptable before him. We're holy and without blame. Then one to finish up here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 9. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And by the way, this is a head start on what we'll cover next time about the importance of loving others. Because there's really three big aspects I see in the Bible about love, and there may be others. But the first is that God really loves you. The second is that we should love God, which we read about a few sessions ago, and then that we should love our neighbor. Three really important things. But at the foundation of them all is knowing God loves you. Then as imitators of God, we want to turn around and love him and then love our neighbors. So this verse is sort of transitioning us into our next teaching for the next session. It says, as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed you do it toward all the brethren. But it's interesting, we're taught of God to love one another because God's example is that he loves us. So to follow his example, we turn around and love everyone like he does. It's unfortunate, but Christians in general are going to be the most judgmental people you've ever met. Not all of them, but many of them are. Because rather than trying to love people with the love that God and his son Jesus Christ had, they want to set down a lot of rules and attack you if you don't follow them exactly the way they want you to. Sort of the way the scribes and the Pharisees attacked Jesus Christ and his apostles, and because they didn't quite follow all their Pharisee rules that they wanted them to. Well, that's unfortunate, but it's just the way it is. But what it says here, as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. So how much should you love other people? How much should you forgive other people? How much should you give them the benefit of the doubt? How much should you give them second chances? Only as much as God does. Which is a lot. Reminds me of that place in the Gospels where somebody comes to Jesus Christ and said, how often should I forgive my brother? Seven times? And what did he return? Actually, 70 times seven. Meaning, forever. Keep forgiving him. You should. So as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed you do it toward all the brethren, which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more. What a great thing. They already loved the people in Macedonia. They were known for how kind and attentive and loving they were for the believers up there in Macedonia, which was the area where they were in Thessalonica, up in northern Greece. And Paul says, we know how loving you are to all the brethren up there. Just do it more. Do it more and more and more. It's good stuff, so keep it up. And then verse 11 is a little different, a little bit off the theme we've been covering, but it's still very important, and that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without and that you may have lack of nothing. And study to be quiet is an interesting phrase. It's translated, or clause actually, it's an interesting clause. It's translated in other versions as aspire to live a quiet life. Aspire to live quietly, or here's a good one, let it be a point of honor with you to keep calm. When everybody else is panicking and screaming and banging their heads against the wall and pounding the table, you be the person that keeps your head and prays and walks peacefully through life, knowing God loves you and expecting his blessing. So that's quite a verse. Study to be quiet. Aspire to leave a quiet life. Let it be a point of honor with you to keep calm. So that's our focus for the week. Know that God loves you. Continue to expect his blessings. Continue to expect him to help you. Never back off from that. Never give in. Always just expect that he'll take care of you. So Heavenly Father, I thank you for these wonderful, wonderful saints. Thank you for the joy it is to believe you, trust you, walk with you, live your word, and have the joy of continuing to grow and see how much our week can be better, our lives can be richer, just by focusing on your great love for us. I pray for everyone here, for their families, their livelihoods, their responsibilities, what's going on in their hearts, their desires, interests, wishes, concerns, as well as all the other many wonderful saints and believers we know and love. May you bless them abundantly. May you protect the land in which we live and the leaders of it. And may we continue to just be able to live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, knowing that you love us every day. Thank you for this and the joy of believing you and walking with you. And until we meet again, may we continue to pray for one another and focus on your love. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Well, goodbye, you wonderful saints. I love you, and we'll talk to you on the 18th.